Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Yeah, I wish you guys could see what I can see right now. And I was just listening to the update there, and I heard Bo Johnson, and it got me thinking about something we're going to go into later on in the hour, Sam, when we talk about the NFL, because I think the stupidest thing that is being done right now is letting that dude play Drew Brees in this Saints game. It seems like New Orleans, whether it's done by somebody else or themselves, when it comes down to playoff time, can't get out of their own way. And it's always something. Why would you put that dude in after 11 busted ribs? And we're not putting in a 25-year-old. We're putting in a guy who's 2 years older than dirt, who's, you know, got a minute and a half left in his league, and yet bringing him in, when you have the record that you have, save him for the playoffs. I don't understand, but then again, Atlanta fans are going, yeah, put him in. You know, because they just soon have not to deal with him again. We are still dealing, efforting Chris Marler, so we'll let you know. Ken will let us know when we have him. But what I was going to say is I wish you could see what Mr. Crenshaw, we do a FaceTime when we have an interview. And so I get to see, this is the only time I get to see Sam.
Yes, we do.
I ain't seen him literally since like St. Patrick's Day, but I see him now. And
that's true.
He's got his hat, his Santa hat on, and I'm not wearing mine because mine's at the bottom of the stairs. You know, when you go down, it's like a hat rack. So I know when I, you know, get out of bed and go downstairs, then I put it on. Because otherwise, I'll leave it someplace. So I will be wearing my Santa hat after the show when I have to go downstairs and give Jesse a bath. Yeah.
That's going to be an adventure.
Yeah. I tell you what, whatever you're on, since we don't have Chris, let's click off for a second, Sam. I know we're doing this live, but the delay is really, really bad again. So I'm going to click you off here. We don't have Chris, and then you and I can just talk. Hopefully that'll be a lot better. But again, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Again, coming up top of the hour, we're going to turn things over to Willie P. and Hugh Douglas. It's the Wade Ford Tailgate Show, followed by Countdown to Kickoff, Chris Goforth and Harry Douglas, all leading up to Bucks and Falcons, Wes Durham and David Archer on the call. David got a bit of a heavy heart today. David, if you're listening, first of all, thank you for last week. We apologize. Again, a little technical difficulties when he was on. But as you like to call him, the Fighting David Archers went down yesterday against Oklahoma, 27-21. So he got a bit of a heavy heart today, man.
They put up a good fight, though.
Yeah. It was close. Listen, we ain't been talking about how close Florida made it against Alabama. I mean, they put up a whole bunch of points, but they didn't stomp on them.
You got me?
I'm saying we haven't talked about the closeness of that match. You talk about leaving Alabama games at halftime because the other team's not going to catch up. But Florida, despite the amount of points, it's just a touchdown at the end of the day. And so we talk about the David Archer. I mean, he got me doing it now. The Fighting David Archers. Iowa State losing to Oklahoma yesterday. But if you had to capsulize their season, you going to feel good about it? You think David and the rest of the alum from that program feel like they had a pretty good season or a very good season? Is it a positive as you look at the ending of it going into bowl season?
They had a really good season. I think so. I think he felt like they had a great season, even though, you know, they start out the year by dropping a game to a Sun Belt conference team. Of course, the Sun Belt, the first week of the season, was out there beating up everything in the Big 12. But for them to come out and get the wins that they did during the season, I think Arch is still pleased with his team, but he would like to see them treated with a bit more respect.
That's
the
thing.
I mean, their coach
was
upset. He felt like the officiating in the game was kind of tilted toward Oklahoma, and you know they're not one of the teams that people love to see in that conference. They love to see Oklahoma and Texas, you know, maybe Oklahoma State, you know, but you know, Iowa State had the team. They had a great quarterback. Who had a great season.
And I think we've lost Mr. Crenshaw again. Ken, did you say that we did have Chris? We're still working on him, huh? All right. Again, so if you're just joining us, we start off the show at the 6 o'clock hour. We're talking college football. And one of the things that we didn't get a chance to talk about, and again, I don't know, Sam, are you back with me? Otherwise, I'm going to ask Ken this. All right, we're still working on getting Mr. Crenshaw back and what happened. But Ken, if you got a second, did you see?
Okay.
Oh, yes. We got you. Okay. You were gone there for a while, man.
I'm here. Hey, I want to remind everybody about something I got coming up. I am in Christmas Eve. I'm on Christmas Eve night.
Yes.
You know, and I'm on the usual John Chuckery shift from 7 to 11, and I'm going to be on, and I want to remind everyone that we have something very special happening during the show if you tune on Christmas Eve. We talked about it some here on the station this week. Hugh Douglas will join us in the 8 o'clock hour. We hope to recite A Visit from St. Nicholas. That's the correct name. A visit from St. Nicholas is the correct name for Twas the Night Before Christmas.
Okay.
He's going to.
Okay. Are you going around the sun right now, Sam? This is like an Armageddon when
I don't
the guy
know.
Said. Okay, there we go. You're back. You unbeknownst to you, because you don't know, because you just keep talking, you have come in and out. And so I'm asking for you, and then you hear me say that. So that's what's happened. Because, you know, we don't want to lose you, man. But for whatever reason, something's flying over the satellites near your house, or you got that rain over there in Gwinnett County, and it's causing you to chip in and out. Don't want to lose you. Don't want to lose you. Before I do, I want to ask you about something that I forgot to ask earlier in the show. Did you hear about this Bill of Rights, this college athletes' Bill of Rights that was introduced in Congress? And I guess that would be a no. Okay.
I did hear about it.
Well, I don't know what your thoughts of it are. I don't know if it's going to pass. There's going to be a vote in January about this. But for those of you who do not know, this was introduced by Jersey Senator Cory Booker. And it was introduced on Thursday. And it, among other things, seeks to grant collegiate athletes numerous rights. Recent college athlete bills have been focused on granting them the rights to profit off their name, image, likeness. This thing goes a whole lot farther. I mean, it's talking about revenue sharing. It's talking about the number of scholarships. And this is one that I wanted to get into with you because we talk about it on the high school level all the time. It has to do with, and it's titled Transfer Freedom. All restrictions on transfer athletes would be removed, as would the penalties for breaking a national letter of intent. Thoughts, Mr. Crenshaw?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I just think you got to have some kind of rule. You know what I mean? And some are saying one transfer, maybe a second. Because there's some guys who would transfer every year, just go somewhere different. Mm-hmm. And I think it needs to be some type of rule.
Well,
to my knowledge, the college athletes are not professional. Now, you paying some kids some money? Let me know something. But to me, there are rules now. Rules are going to be amended. I've always felt like players should get, college student athletes should get a larger share of the wealth that's being accumulated. Not so much this year because, you know, everybody's kind of taking it on the chin. And unfortunately, there's some programs in other sports that are being alleviated and eliminated during this pandemic. But in a normal time, in a normal situation, when everything is going the way it normally does, you got, you know, 80,000 people in the stands, plus television revenue, plus marketing and branding rights. Yeah, you got plenty to go around. And so I'm always for sharing more of that with the people who are out there sweating and bleeding and making it.
Well, listen, while you hit the reset button, I'm going to tell you, and it does address that, but the bill could be a headache for the NCAA. It really could, because basically, you know, first of all, let's get this out of the way. There's several states that are passing their own name, image, and likeness bills. Federal legislation is the only thing that's going to prevent the NCAA from having to navigate and comply with each one of these laws on a state-by-state basis. But here's the deal. This is why this thing is polar opposite to what the NCAA wants. They're going to focus on federal legislations on name, image, and likeness rights, and that's about it. But removing a revenue, that's not it. It's revenue sharing, financial disclosure, and governmental standards are definitely not something that the NCAA wants to deal with, but this is all going to be a part of that bill. And Congress is scheduled to vote on this thing. You know, it's going to have a different name, though, by the way, then. Or by the time it hits the floor, okay, they start voting on it. But it's just, you know, we're at the beginning. There has been so many paradigm shifts this year with things that had to be done. This is something that's been talked about, and I don't know that Cory Booker's bill is going to be the end-all be-all and individual states are addressing it, but do you think there needs to be one across-the-board college-level bill that just makes sure everybody that what they've been fighting for as far as likeness and everything that we talked about is in place as opposed to leaving it up to the individual states?
And you would hope so. But, I mean, we're trying to do that with the games right now, and we're having a hard time doing that, are we? You know, because everybody's got a little bit more. Different people got different levels. People got different size checking accounts. You know what I mean? So are you going to make it one thing across the board? Well, everybody doesn't have the Texas checking account. Everybody doesn't have Alabama's checking account. You know, do you want to, you know, that's, to me, that's the headache. It keeps it from being one thing across the board for everybody. Everybody doesn't have that.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. If you are just joining us, we started off by wishing Ken, our producer, a happy birthday, and talking about those of you that have a birthday like this week or shortly after Christmas. It should be outlawed. If you haven't seen any of the PNC championships, Tiger is playing with his son, Charlie. This is the first time. This is Charlie's coming out event. This is his time that he is in front of the world, and this kid is making the most of it. Got his first eagle yesterday. Round two is going to be on today. Been talking to Marietta High School head coach Marcus Hood. Look up the Lemon Street Classic. Just look it up, Google it, and learn about what's going on in Marietta High School's connection to it. We talked about that this morning. Sorry we couldn't get to Chris Mahler Saturday down south. He was going to play the game. Maybe we'll play it with D-Led. He's coming up later on in the hour. We're going to go around the NFL next. It's Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. He's Drew Brees. That can happen, okay? I think that Sean Payton's job this week was to convince this dude, we don't need you now. We just don't. There's no point in having you go out there and jeopardize. I mean, who knows how difficult it is to just breathe after 11 busted ribs. That's all I've been hearing about from people in the medical field. Just breathing is cumbersome at best. And then the chance to go out there and take a hit like he's going to get, and everybody's going to be going for him. Listen, the dudes, they're sitting at 10-3. Okay? It's not like they're not going to make the playoffs. Yeah, they may not get the bye. Packers may jump over them for that bye. But you still want to be healthy going into the playoffs. So anyway, this whole news about Breeze playing this week, to me, sounded foolish, and it sounded like another time where Sean Payton didn't do what he was supposed to do, or he's being too cute.
Do you think they're rushing him back because absolutely, Taysom Hill didn't look that good last week?
What's Taysom Hill's record since then? Since he's been in,
I mean,
since
the 3-1.
They're 3-1.
But,
okay,
so, but two of them against the Falcons, and one of them against a Denver team that didn't have a quarterback.
He still got the checks in the W column. I get what you're saying.
But against a subpar Eagles team, they kind of exposed it. He didn't have a good day.
What is Drew Brees being in this game against the Chiefs, right? What is that? What is he going to do to stop Patrick Mahomes? Nothing.
Maybe they think with him, they have a better shot of, you know, winning in a shootout or something than with Taysom Hill.
A healthy Drew Brees, maybe.
Yeah.
We've seen healthy players, quarterbacks, top-level quarterbacks, go up against this guy in this offense and the weapons that they have. I get why they think they need to do it, but they don't, and I think the outcome could be a whole lot worse than just a loss to the Chiefs.
Well, you could lose it for a season, especially. I mean, we're going to find out really fast. As soon as Chris Jones gets his hands on him, you know, in the backfield, or he takes a hard hit, we're going to see how tough he is.
Dude, we're going to send that hit could send him into retirement.
Oh, yeah.
Let alone just the rest of the season. We heard about that at the beginning of the season. Is Drew Brees going to play? Is he not going to play? Okay, he came back and said, hey, no, I'm ready to go a couple more years. All right. Well, you got 11 busted ribs you've had and that little situation with your lung. All right. Now, yes, he might be healed. He might be healed for walking to work or doing what you and I do on a regular basis. But playing professional football, and he might be healthy enough to even play a game. But the hits that a normal quarterback takes throughout the course of the game leads them to stay in bed, usually Monday and Tuesday of the next week. I mean, listen, even Patrick Mahomes got to feel some hits on Monday and Tuesday after a big game, okay? I'm just saying Drew Brees, even in game shape, without what happened, even without the injury that he had a few weeks ago that got him these 11 busted ribs, that was actually over a two-game period. Were that not to happen, just old as Methuselah, Drew Brees is going to feel a hit after all these weeks of this season getting into this upcoming week and heading into the playoffs where you want your best players healthy. I just think it's a massive mistake.
Yeah, what does you say? It's like being in a car wreck for like 2.5 hours? Just constantly hitting?
I hadn't heard. Well, yeah. Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah. Playing in the NFL. Absolutely. Absolutely. But, Ken, we hear this all the time from players. We hear it all the time. My body feels like, you know, fill in the blank Monday and Tuesday.
Well, I mean, have you ever seen, there was a documentary like maybe 10 years ago about Jerome Bettis. Duke can hardly walk up and down stairs. He does it with a cane.
Absolutely. I've seen. Yeah, no, Jerome Bettis I've seen because he comes out to that golf tournament. All of these guys, the running backs, the quarterbacks. And now here's the other thing, too. We're talking about the body itself. What's going to happen? He takes one and gets a ding between the ears.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But even the what-ifs aside, we can sit and speculate that this is what's going to happen. My point is I just think it's a mistake to put this guy in the game today. This is an example of when the player or that coach whose job it is to take the helmet away from the player who got dinged up, who may have a concussion but wants to go back in the game. I think there's somebody who should be doing that right now. Anyway, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It is Sam and Greg. Presently, it is just Greg. We are having some technical issues with Mr. Crenshaw. Hopefully, we'll get him back soon. And again, one of the other things that I was noticing this past week in looking at some of the stories surrounding the NFL, and we'll talk to D-Led about this next. I don't know, Ken, if you saw this, but D-Led had a mock draft, and maybe others have done this too, but they're putting Justin Fields with the Falcons.
Wasn't a D-Led. I think it was another site's mock draft. But, yeah, I don't think Justin Fields drops past Jacksonville, though. I mean, I know Jacksonville's messed up in the draft before, but you can't pass up on Justin Fields at 2 unless they trade out of that pick. I don't see him dropping past 2 or 3. I really don't. I mean,
you know, this is one of those where you got to say, wonder why is Jacksonville looking at Zach Wilson? Okay, what's this guy got that, you know, that Justin Fields doesn't have?
I don't think Zach Wilson has anything that Justin Fields doesn't have. I think Justin Fields has better attributes than Zach Wilson. I think he has a better arm. Maybe Zach Wilson's maybe a little bit more accurate than Justin Fields. Maybe he has a better grasp on pro offenses right now than Justin Fields has. But Justin Fields has the potential to be a superstar like a Patrick Mahomes in this league. Why would you pass up on that for maybe somebody that's, you know, I don't know. I don't know who Zach Wilson really compares to in the NFL.
Me either. That's what I was actually hoping you could, because I haven't seen.
I mean,
yeah.
probably someone like Nick Foles or, you know, a little bit mobile like that. That's what that's what I compare him probably to. But I wouldn't pass on Justin Fields at 2, especially if Trevor Lawrence goes number 1.
But let me ask you this then. Let's jump in this a little bit deeper. Let's say that this is something that the Falcons, there's a conversation someplace in the offices with the Atlanta Falcons, and we have also, and I say we, meaning sports talk radio from one end of this country to the other, that when they talk about the Falcons and what's going to happen next or what they think is going to happen next, there's usually two approaches to it. And it's much like a couple teams. Do you add pieces here and there? Or is it time to blow this situation up because that window has closed? They had the 28-3, and we know what happened after that. And the last couple seasons have been what it's been. And with the pieces that you presently have, even though it's going to take, you know, a miracle for somebody, if that were the case, to grab Matt Ryan's contract, Julio, and whatever else is in place. But what is your thinking? Do we, and is Justin Fields that player that you bring him in and you start to build around him?
Well, the thing is, you're going to be stuck with Matt Ryan for at least
next year,
maybe 2 years. So even if you bring in Justin Fields now, I don't think he's playing over Matt Ryan right away. I think he's learning from Matt Ryan for at least a year, and then maybe in year two you start to see him getting into games. But I think, I mean, they have – I think you start to see the Falcons probably this year and next year start bringing in another wide receiver to kind of not replace Julio, but give Ridley another, you know, another option. I really like the guy out of Auburn this year. I think he can go late in the third or fourth round, which is his last name Smith. I think it's Shai Smith or something like that. Man, he's good. He's fast. He's kind of like in a Ridley mold, something like that. But I think the Falcons have to find a running back to build around whoever comes in, Justin Fields, Matt Ryan, whoever's going to start in the next couple of years. Because Julio's not going to be there, and you're stuck with Ridley, and do you really trust Russell Gage and the rest of the guys that are still there right now? And I don't.
See, here's the thing about that running back situation, and this is what we've talked about as far as that position being diminished over the last couple of years. You look at the quarterbacks, that the top-level quarterbacks have that ability to run, to extend plays, to take it down the field. So the running back is a complementary piece. It's Kareem Hunt. It's these guys who are Alvin Kamara. It's these guys who are not just straight running backs. So whoever that multi-dimensional running back is, or whatever you want to call that position, a hybrid, if you will, that's what that position has become. It's not just straight running back anymore. So then you ask yourself, given the pieces that are in place, as you said, Julio's going to be here, you know what's going on with him, Matt Ryan's going to be here, but if you take Julio off this team, as far as decision-making of what we're going to do next, can you make a case that what we're looking at here in Atlanta is similar to what we're looking at, were he on this team, were Justin Fields on this team, similar to what we're looking at up in Philadelphia? Where you don't think he's going to come in and start, but yet we don't know without the weapon, the main weapon he's had for, you know, the last X amount of years in Julio Jones, Matt Ryan, I'm not the only one who's saying this guy, he doesn't look the same. We'll just put it that way. I think that's the fair way to put it. Instead of calling people names, we'll just say he doesn't look the same. He doesn't look till he's in that elite level. And how long is this going to continue? I don't think he's going to go back to that elite level. He won't have those players. And as you asked, as you mentioned a second ago, Calvin Ridley. Again, these are all just conversations, and I don't know. We're knocking this back and forth in the barbershop. But do you blow it up? Or do you find that piece coming out of college or that young piece that's in the league that needs an opportunity to have a team build around him?
I don't think you blow it up right now. I think you let Matt Ryan and Julio's contracts expire or cut them in 2022 and then try to reload, really. You got a good young defense. You got some good young corners. You got pieces to build around on the defensive side. Maybe you retool the offensive line a little bit, get a younger running back, and see where you go from there.
I get it. And listen, there's no easy answers to this, and there's no way to really articulate this in any kind of intelligent way because you just don't know. I don't know. But if there's anybody who can do it, it's the guy we're going to talk to next, hopefully. And that's D. Orlando Ledbetter. He's going to join us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It's time to bring the man on, the only man that we have officially with his own intro music. But before we even do that, let me make sure. Oh, there's that laugh. There it is. Okay, yeah. That's Sam back, man.
Yeah, man, back, man.
Just joining us.
I'm sorry. We had some technical difficulties.
It's technical, man.
I'm back with you, partner.
I'm back at you. It's technical. Of course, I have no idea what came out of my mouth those last 10 minutes. When you go and I'm by myself solo, I don't know what comes out. I just start rambling. I just start talking. I just know if you keep talking, you know, you're doing okay. Just keep talking. So, but I'm glad we got you back. Listen, we want to talk Falcons and getting ready for today's game. First time Tom Brady and those boys are showing up here this year. And what can we expect from this Falcons team? The guy to go to for all those answers is D. Orlando Ledbetter. And before we ask him to talk about that, D. Led, what is your favorite part about the Christmas season, if you have one?
The Christmas parties, like, you know, you all used to have the jingle jam and all that and hitting all that. And then when we had kids hiding the toys, you know, finding places to hide the toys where I wouldn't forget them.
Easier said than done.
Yeah, you have to write
myself. Sometimes that can be a little tricky.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Go ahead, Sam.
Like, hey, I forgot the Barbie doll. Where the Barbie doll?
Oh.
Sounds like some experience speaking there. D. Orlando Ledbetter joining us here on the WaitFor.com hotline on this game day Sunday. D. Led, what do we make of these final games here with the Falcons, and what do you look for today? We know who's not going to play, but what do you watch for when we get to this stage of the season and the season's gone like this?
Yeah, I want to see who's playing hard, who you can keep moving forward, who you probably got to move away from. You know, playing hard has never been an issue under Coach Dan Quinn. But, I mean, you know, like Isaiah Oliver, you know, he's not a cornerback. He can't cover. You know, can he play safety? You know, I want to see if he can play because you can, you know, salvage a player and a second-round draft pick if he can move back to safety. Keanu Neal, you know, it's kind of sad. The business of football, he's probably playing his last three games with the Falcons. We knew when they started drafting all these guys that at some point all the salaries weren't going to fit. And so we saw Hooper leave and Devondre Campbell leave last year. We'll probably see Keanu, you know, go on to the open market this year. So, yeah, I'm watching to see if they play hard and if you see any young talent that might be able to help the team out moving forward. And another guy, tackle Matt Ganeau, who started for Caleb McGarry last week. He showed that he's going to be a pro player at right tackle, and maybe you can still kick him inside the guard.
D-Led, you actually, since you mentioned Neal, he's one of your key matchups for today's game against Gronkowski. My question is, I don't know what to make of what I'm seeing of Gronk right now.
Yeah, he's a slow old dude right now. He's going to go to him on third down and, you know, in the red zone. So he's not blazing down the field for you anymore. You know, he doesn't have that type of speed, but he's still a big body that can get to spaces, and the quarterback will definitely find him. So he's, you know, once they get inside the 20, that's when Keanu can go toe-to-toe with him. And Keanu doesn't have to worry about him running away from it. So he doesn't have that speed anymore. But he's a big dude. He's got great hands. So he's still a problem. 5 touchdowns to show for you this year so far.
Sam,
WaitForIt.com hotline with D. Orlando. We're spending time on the WaitForIt.com hotline with D. Orlando Ledbetter of AJC at AJC.com. My goodness. So things you're watching for as far as this offense goes. I mean, running backs are auditioning to stay. We figure we don't have a guy there that's going to be the guy for the future. Or do we? Is that what we start watching players saying? Is this the guy going to be for the future? Are we going to have to go out and draft or going to have to acquire somebody for a position like that?
Yeah, they. I think they got to go out and get one. It's got to be a reason why Quadri Allison hasn't been active. I want to see him run. Edo Smith, you know, a little guy. He's been getting most of the carries lately. I like to have the bigger guy. So use Edo in the, you know, third down and passing situations. But he's doing a good job. And I mean, but he's a good back. He's not a bell cow back. And we got to remember, Sam, that draft pick they traded away for Hayden Hurst, the Baltimore used that pick to get J.K. Dobbins, the running back who's having a great rookie year. They could have had the running back this year and got the tight end later, but they needed the tight end now and, you know, messed up the quarterback by running back by trading that second-round pick to the Ravens.
D. Orlando Ledbetter joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Last segment, I couldn't have done a worse job in bumbling my way through what is being said in the barbershop and the people who just have general conversations about this Falcons team, and that is, where are they at right now in the minds of their fan base? Are they at a point where they should blow things up, even though you know you can't get rid of some of the contracts, or do you again go out and hopefully in free agency get the pieces here and there? We were talking about some of the mock drafts have Justin Fields being chosen by the Falcons. I mean, given the contract handcuffs they have, does that really keep you from starting the process of moving away from that team that was 28-3, or do you have to live with it and suck it up for another couple of years?
Yeah, pragmatically, Greg, you do. That's a smart thing to do. You save money that way. You have a chance to win the next couple of years with some of the people. You blow it up, you know, you're in the hole for 3 years for sure, and you could be in the hole for you know, decades, like Cleveland, Tampa Bay, until, you know, recently here. You know, you could have a big black hole that you dig in, and it could be a lot worse moving forward. So you got to salvage, you know, this team. The offense is intact. You need to get the line better some kind of way. Maybe the mobile quarterback helps that. You groom him, or you keep him, you know, for a couple of years like Kansas City did with Mahomes, and Green Bay did with Rodgers. I don't believe in throwing rookie quarterbacks out there. We're seeing Joe Burrow's, you know, basically getting killed halfway through the season. That never usually works. So that would be the way to go. The defense has got a lot more work to do than the offense. You don't know what type of philosophy is coming in here. If you come in with a big 4-3 guy, then most of these small, fast guys don't fit. So you're starting over there. So then you got to go in free agency in the draft to rebuild that defense. You know, you can keep three guys pretty much, Drady, Deion Jones. I want to keep Keanu, but it's going to be hard. And then, you know, you got the young corner to build around in A.J. Terrell.
D-Lev, we got a couple of minutes to go with you here before I let you go. Two games later on today, I want to know your thoughts on Drew Brees coming back. Do you think it's a good idea for him to come back? And what about these guys from Cleveland playing in prime time?
Yeah, no doubt about it. The Cleveland people are all fired up about that one. You know, they had the big Monday night game with Lamar, you know, coming out of the locker room to beat him. But the folks in Cleveland are happy to be playing meaningful games in December after decades of, you know, being in the bottom of the basement in the NFC North. The other game, I think Brees, I don't want him to get hurt. I don't, you know, I don't know how you recover from 12.
Yeah,
fractured,
exactly.
12 left fractured and a punctured lung in 3 weeks.
Exactly.
So, I mean, he might have been in the hyperbaric chamber and all that. So I'm a little leery of them rushing him back out there.
That's on Sean Payton, isn't it, D-Led? I mean, this is like one of those situations where a player gets concussed and there's a guy on the team who takes that dude's helmet so he don't run back on the field. This is on Sean Payton. If Drew Brees' career ends because he takes a hit that not only derails him for this season, but given his age, he could be done. That's squarely on Sean Payton for not stepping in and protecting that dude, as far as I'm concerned. What are your thoughts?
Well, yeah, no question about it, but Sean's not operating in a vacuum over there. I'm going to put it on the doctor who signed off on this. You know, the team doctor or whoever it is who's saying he's medically fine to play football. You know, if something happens to him, that's the first person I'm going to, because Sean's not playing him without a medical clearance. So it's kind of like the old boxing thing where you shop around and get, you know, somebody to clear your hurt boxer. If he's, you know, not really healthy and gets hurt, then you're running right to whoever cleared him to play.
D-Led, have yourself a Merry Christmas, and thank you as always for everything you do for our show.
Hey, and thank you guys. I really appreciate having my intro music. I get fired up and start stepping when I get ready to come on. And you guys, Greg and Sam, you have a great Merry Christmas to both of you all and your family.
Absolutely. Thanks. D. Orlando Ledbetter joining Sam and Greg here. We're going to get on out of here. Mr. Crenshaw, you with me? Anybody you want to wish happy Merry Christmas to before we get on out?
Just all of our listeners. Just thank you for being with us, man, for getting up with us, even during this pandemic. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Stay safe. Don't forget, I'm on Christmas Eve with Big Q Douglas. reading the night before Christmas. You don't want to miss it, so come join us.
Ken Roundtree, our producer, and everybody we work with, family, Tracy, Jesse, and everybody, we love you and thank you for putting up with us, and have yourself a merry, merry Christmas. We've got Countdown to Kickoff coming up from 11 to 1, but up next, the Wait For Tailgate Show with Willie P. and Hugh Douglas, all before the Falcons Bucks at 1. Have yourself a wonderful, wonderful holiday season. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.